morning, film fans, and welcome to this edition of The Real Rundown. I am Epic Film Guy Nick.
And Justin is here.
And thank you very much for joining us today. It is Friday, August 14th, 2015, and hopefully you'll be making your way to the cinemas this weekend. You can check out Straight Outta Compton, which Justin's going to have a sneak peek of his review a little bit later on in the podcast here. And Man from U.N.C.L.E. also opens this weekend.
And if you haven't seen The Gift, I've heard good things, and I still might hit that one up as well.
So. I did, and you know what? I didn't even realize this until I watched episode 2 yesterday to do my review. But Joel Edgerton is U.N.C.L.E. Owen in episode 2 and 3. I didn't even realize it until I saw the credits roll yesterday. And then I was just like, holy shit. So, yeah,
man. He actually mentioned recently in an interview, I forgot what he was doing press for, that he would gladly love to come back and be in another Star Wars. Though, granted, I doubt we'll see him again because I don't think we're going to have to see him when the character is actually dead by that point. But
we're going to get, after Episode 9, the next Star Wars solo feature is going to be just the U.N.C.L.E. Owen story. And stories about how they owned the same fucking droid twice but couldn't remember it the second time around.
See, now you're getting is this a precursor to your episode?
Yeah, this is going to be a preview of my episode 2 review because I'm going to bash the shit out of the fact that C-3PO is in Attack of the Clones as well because I still don't feel like he has a place in it. And in fact, other than 3PO's appearance in it, he really drags down the second half of what is otherwise a pretty good second half of a film. So we'll talk about that more in my in-depth review. And a big thank you. I want to just give a shout-out, Justin, if that's okay, to the guys at Star Wars Battlefront Forums for partnering up with us in the lead-in to Episode 7.
Well, certainly. Very excited to be a part of that with them. Great partnership, and we're very happy to be a part of that and be able to be in a group of people that care so much about Star Wars and do our reviews on a monthly basis. It's a great time.
I don't know. I still got to get on there and see if people are bashing me. Because you said, when you were sharing my review, you said a lot of people were bashing me for giving episode 1 a 6 out of 10.
The funny thing was, the best comment I saw was that, I think in the little caption for your review, it says something about episode 1 not being a bad film or not being a horrible film or something. Hey, don't quote me on this. I did read it, but I don't remember the exact wording. And then someone was like, I stopped reading it, not a horrible film. And I was like, hey, man, like a lot of these people are just like so hateful towards it. And I have yet to do my episode 1 review. I know I'm a little bit late. I watched it a couple weeks ago, but I forgot how many things about that movie I did enjoy. Now, granted, the things that I hated about it, I hated even more in my older age, but this is coming from someone that saw episode 1 in the theater 4 times in a row, 4 days in a row upon release. So, I mean, at the time, I think I loved the shit out of the movie, but...
Oh, yeah, and I did too, because I saw it the same number of times. When it opened, I saw it twice on the same day, I remember, and I absolutely loved it. I still remember waiting in line, and a bunch of my friends were up at the Town Square Mall. And I was waiting in line outside the theater to get in, and they walked by and they saw me there, and they made fun of me for standing in line to wait for a Star Wars movie. But that reminds me, man.
That reminds me, Nick. Matt Parks, which is one of our avid followers.
He's also one of our sponsors with Jerky Gold.
Jerky Gold. He has talked about this iconic, legendary, mythic fucking video that his father shot in front of Town Square Mall interviewing Star Wars fans that were sleeping outside the theater the night before the opening of the film. So I've been waiting on this video to come out for years. He's talked about it forever, and I hope that he has it ready and can partner up with Epic Film Guys prior to Episode 7's release so we can see something awesome. I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
I won't appear in that video because I didn't camp out overnight. I did wait in line. It was a few hours, though. I can't remember how many hours it was, but I waited in line for a few hours to see Episode 1. I do remember that. But we'll move on to, actual other stuff, because thank you very much for supporting the Star Wars reviews and reading that stuff. I do have the Episode 2 review probably coming in, I'll say about a week and a half or 2 weeks, to really get it ready. I finished watching it about 2 days ago, and I took a lot of detailed notes. And people were pissed off that I gave Episode 1 a 6 out of 10 are going to be even more pissed when they read my Episode 2 review, because I really like a lot of that movie. There's a lot of that movie that's great. I love how that movie is paced. I love the slow burn. I love that it takes its time and just lets its plot unfold slowly, and that it doesn't shove you through the plot points. And speaking of shoving through plot points, I'm going to make you talk about it.
Really?
Fan four stick or whatever the hell you want to call that abomination that
Josh
we both
Tank,
watched.
I mean, Josh Frank.
No, tanking is what the movie did at the box office. And did you hear it now? And for superhero movies, for all superhero films, all films in the genre, all-time lowest score on CinemaScore. So that is now official. Thank you very much, Josh Trank and Fox and everybody involved with Fantastic Four for reaching yet another uber shitty milestone.
You know what's funny to me, though? The funny thing is, though, is I had someone actually comment yesterday on Facebook, and they asked me, do you still have faith in X-Men Apocalypse? No? And my reaction to that was, I was almost furious. Like, this is like night and day, man. Okay. Bryan Singer, who has delivered three fantastic X-Men films. Josh Trank, who made one indie movie that did well at the theater. It was his first big budget film that he had his hands on. Young dude was not right for the project.
Fox, Singer knows how to deal with big budget, big studio pictures, to deal with studio executives and producers and all those people that want their hand in the cookie jar and, you know, have a vested interest in the movie doing well. Singer's seasoned at that kind of stuff. He's not only the X-Men movies, but Superman Returns and other movies that he's made that were just big budget flicks, that he's used to this stuff. Trank had never done it before.
And that's a lot of the reason, in my opinion, why what happened did happen. There's no, we just, as you were mentioning before we started recording, the reports are out on a lot of the cast and crew talking about how Trank acted on set.
Oh, fingers are getting pointed in every direction. It's ridiculous.
But there's no direct person or entity to blame in this situation. It is a double-edged sword, so to speak. It's half the studio, half Trank. Now, obviously, Trank acted a little bit immature about it, I think, knowing that he was actually going to have $1 million or multi-million dollar franchise in his hands, that in reality, he didn't really care that much about. The film he wanted to make at its core was not a Fantastic Four movie. I talked about it in my review. I think you did in yours a little bit. You didn't like the concept as much as I did. I think if the concept itself was an original idea, completely removed the Marvel property from the idea and just was its own thing, better written, better paced, could have been something cool on a lower budget scale.
I don't even think that the concept of the movie was what was wrong with the movie. I think that they just didn't give you any opportunity to step into the movie and really enjoy it or anything like that. They literally just grab your face as an audience member and they just force it down as hard as they can up against this pile of shit, and they just rub it in as hard and as fast as they can for 100 minutes and get it over with, and then it's over with.
And it reminds me a lot about it reminds me a lot of Brad Bird's Tomorrowland, which I know you didn't get to see when it came out earlier in the summer. However, much better put together film and still much more enjoyable film on a family level. And as far as the originality in the movie, I actually enjoyed that a lot more than Fantastic Four. But it's the same kind of idea of shoving its themes and ideas down your throat constantly. You know, the exposition in Fantastic Four, it's half the movie. I enjoyed a large portion of that because it was actually the only character development that was there, as little bit as there was. You know, I know you didn't like Teller. I thought he was okay in the movie. I liked everybody else that was cast
like
in the
film. I just felt like he phoned it in. I just felt like, but then again, well, I don't know if that's necessarily the cast's fault or if that was just Trank's lack of direction. Like if it was just, you know, like nobody really had a lot of wind in their sails going through this thing.
part of the news that we got out of that was that Trank fought for Teller to get that role. And then on set, he gave Teller a whole bunch of shit and gave him crap, and they had issues that they couldn't communicate correct in you know, a natural way, and that Teller got a lot of crap.
Well, the same thing with Kate Mara. I mean, the opposite news came out about Kate Mara
that
he didn't want Kate Mara to be cast as Invisible Girl, and you know, and as a result, Trank treated her like shit on set.
So, yeah, like really bad and really mean, is from what I heard. But you know, at this point in time, we've heard enough about it. I think the main thing we need to get on to is that we are hearing strong rumors that Fox is seriously considering completely canceling the sequel idea and just getting it out of the way. What do you think about that?
At this point, and you know my rating of the film, I gave it a 2 out of 10. This was a fucking train wreck. It was an abysmal disaster. I hated this movie. It was everything that could possibly be wrong about a film. I've been super critical of Marvel's mistreatment of villains, how they give them, like, shitty screen time and no development. This was Marvel villains on steroids the whole goddamn way through. It was terrible. I hated this movie. So I don't want to see a sequel to this. I don't want to see this cast. I don't want to see any of this creative team. I'm not one of those fanboys, and I'll let you talk about that, but I'm not one of those give the rights back to Marvel fanboys, because they don't know how to make a decent film either, frankly.
Well, But here's my thing. Even if Marvel gets the rights back and they have the ability to make a better film, who says that we need a Fantastic Four movie? I don't think it's a necessity. I think that looking back at the Tim Story films, he at least got a few bits and pieces right about those. He had at least some of his tone, you know, on a level basis on what he was trying to make. It was really corny and badly put together, but at least he knew what he wanted to do. At least here, it's a jumbled mess. We know that. I honestly, at this point in time, if they can't resurrect the franchise with a sequel with the same cast, with a better, you know, screenwriter and a better director, I could honestly care less about seeing Fantastic Four on the big screen ever.
I'm completely torn by it, because I don't want to see a sequel to this movie, but at the same time, I don't want the rights to revert back to Marvel, who, in my opinion, has not produced a decent film since Winter Soldier. That was their last, like, movie that I really, really enjoyed.
Now, decent and good are two different things, Haskins. I thought Age of Ultron, was good. I don't think it was very good or great or excellent or amazing.
It had its good parts, but it was a complete shit show. Ultron was a fucking joke. You know, there was all sorts of problems. They spent like 45 minutes of the movie just with Thor was gone off doing world building like by himself. He had his whole world building subplot where all he was busy doing was selling us on the Infinity Gems for the Marvel films to come.
I was going to make you aware of something. I don't know if you forgot. I think you forgot. Is there not an official rule that we don't bash Marvel for more than 10 minutes during the podcast?
No. I think every time we do a podcast, we talk about it before we start recording. We're like, okay, we can't waste any time bashing Marvel in this podcast. And then we do every single time anyway.
I have to say, and I'll get this out of
We'll move on.
I'll move on because I saw one of the best films of the summer last night. And it was almost like an Avengers biopic. It had the tone of the original Avengers almost as far as how heroic they portrayed NWA. The Straight Out of Compton film was stellar filmmaking. All the great reviews that are out there, rightly so, it was fantastic. I was lucky enough to get to an advanced screening through the Alamo Drafthouse last night, and I saw it. I loved it.
What do you think, in terms of Oscar chances? Does it have a shot at any trophies?
I don't, but however, I knew that. All right, I knew a couple things about this. All right, O'Shea Jackson Jr., who played Ice Cube, is Ice Cube's son real in real life.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he looks exactly like him.
It does explain the resemblance. I was wondering about that.
And he had to actually, Ice Cube acquired as a producer that everyone auditioned for their roles. He didn't make it easy. And dude, this guy embodies Ice Cube to a T. It does halfway through get typical biopic kind of vibe to it. It feels like a biopic about halfway through. The first half has a lot of social commentary, strong social commentary, almost to the level of Selma from last year. I really think this film is very, very important, even more so than anything else this summer, on the level of quality and what really matters in modern day cinema. I have a lot to say about it, so I'm going to wait to do my full review of it this weekend. Hopefully I get a chance. I know I'll be making my way back up to Binghamton and do a little bit of family stuff this weekend.
Hopefully stopping in to see your old pal Skins.
It'd be nice if we did a review together and I didn't mess it up this time, but I know, you know,
yeah, maybe
whatever.
If you didn't ruin everything you touched, then we'd have, you know, all this stuff, but God.
Point being, though, I recommend to real hardcore cinephiles, if they do see a movie right now, to see Straight Outta Compton, even if they're not a fan of the rap group. I mean, I am, and I admit it, I love old gangster rap, but this movie was amazing. Great performances from very small actors, and this is the awesome part about it. When you watch a movie that's larger than life, and they're portraying these characters that everyone knows, Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, Eazy-E, these people are like icons in the music world.
Oh,
and these actors that are portraying them are very small actors. They've only done a few things, and they're really, you know, chewing on this material, giving fantastic, you know, almost, I would say, I wouldn't say nomination-worthy performances, but they're within the realm of what would make that kind of performance work. It really does make your spine tingle a little bit. I loved the movie a lot. Really happy to have seen it. Hope to catch Man from U.N.C.L.E., though. Not doing as well review-wise as I would hope, but we'll see.
You know what? I actually didn't look at where it is critically. Where is it? Right? It was like 67 or 68% last I checked.
High 60s I saw on Rotten Tomatoes.
66. I just looked it up. So 66% is worth. But it's still fresh. I mean, technically. But, you know, it does look pretty interesting. So I don't
all
know.
All I know
I
is that
I look at that, too.
I love old Bond films, okay? I know we both love Cavill, and Cavill was up for the Bond role at one point in time.
I do also love Armie Hammer as well, so.
I like him, just not in roles that require him wearing a mask and a cowboy hat. Let's not remind me of that, please. You never saw that. You never had to sit through that, so.
No, because it looked like an absolute train wreck, and since you already saw the train wreck in the trailer, I didn't feel the need to go to the theater. So, you're welcome, I guess, for that. I don't really know.
What the hell? What the hell else do you have to talk about here?
We didn't talk about the box office, and I did have a chance to see two movies over the weekend that I wanted to very briefly touch on.
Oh, yeah, and I saw another one last weekend that you had already seen, which I didn't really care for, which you liked more than I.
Yeah, I was disappointed you didn't like Trainwreck as much as I did.
I didn't dislike Trainwreck. I won't say that it was a bad film. I just think that maybe you're more in line with the particular humor of Amy Schumer than I am. I actually liked Bill Hader quite a bit, but my issue with that movie is that you're trying to make LeBron James funny, and I'm sorry, dude. Like, all the sports jokes, I like sports, okay? I even like basketball. I'm not a huge fan, but, like, you're really catering to a specific kind of crowd with that movie, and I don't find LeBron James funny. Liked Bill Hader as the straight guy, you know, as being
He did play
man.
A good straight guy. Yeah, he really did.
Really
and
great.
I loved John Cena, and John Cena was fucking great.
Dude, oh, man, are you telling, like, the sex scene with the protein and the Nike quotes. And,
it was
I was laughing
dude.
So hard. I was crying. And the theater scene. Oh my God, dude.
Yeah, there's a lot of scenes in I don't want to spend too much time on Trainwreck, but
no, I know.
But with Schumer, the thing that I love about Schumer is the way that her comedy unfolds on stage. Like it's always kind of, she waits for like the awkward pause and everything, and then she delivers, and that's what a lot of the scenes in that movie did, and I don't necessarily think it translated as well to the big screen as it could have or should have. And I think I had mentioned to you, and I think I might have even mentioned previously, that if you have seen a lot of her stand-up, or if you've heard a lot of it, then she kind of rewrote a couple of her different jokes and stuff like that into the film, so it was like, it's still funny, but it's like, I've already heard this before, you know. So, there's that, but Yeah, I was disappointed. But there are some really funny moments in it, though. You've got to at least give it that.
I do. I mean, if I wanted to laugh at a semi-unattractive drunk girl at the bar, I'd just go to downtown Binghamton and sit at Dillinger's all night.
Boom. But, suck it, Dillinger's clientele.
But just saying, hey, whatever. You saw the new Dragon Ball Z animated film, didn't you?
I did, yeah, I did. And nothing for nothing, but it has almost $10,000 per screen average that movie made. It made just about $2 million in a very, very limited release. And, dude, it was a fuck of a lot of fun. If you're a fan of the anime, and I know, Justin, you're not, but if you're a fan of the anime, it is unbelievably funny. You'll laugh your ass off. It's got all the kick-ass action without any of the 50 episodes of watching them power up first before they fight and stuff like that. Like, I think it's at like a tight like 90 or 100 minutes. You know, and it just kind of drops you right into the story, and it just kind of gets burning with it. It drops some of the more annoying characters. There's no Hercule / Mr. Satan, thank God. And a lot of Goku and Vegeta bickering, which was hilarious. There was so many fucking good things about it. I absolutely loved it. It was a great experience, except for the fact that they didn't get the movie to play for like 45 minutes at the theater I went to down in Dixon City. So they gave us free passes, so I took those free passes, paid the $5 upcharge for IMAX tickets to go see Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. And that movie was awesome. That movie was also really awesome. I think that it kind of lulled a little bit, like the pacing was a little bit off for me. I think it slowed down in a couple of parts and it kind of dragged a little bit, but by and large, incredible action sequences, you know, as good as anything you'll see in, you know, like a Bond film or anything like that, modern day action outside of a superhero film, obviously, because it's a different style of action, but, you know, fantastic stuff. And of course you see, you know, the sequence there with Cruise hanging on the big jet, which he really did. That was much press about how fucking crazy
my favorite is. Scene, and I didn't get to talk to you about it because I had seen it before you and didn't want to ruin it for you. But I talk about it in my review, and I'll mention it really quickly. That motorcycle sequence on the mountains.
Excellent sequence, yeah. Excellent sequence. The chase sequence of that movie was fantastic, the whole thing.
And the only issue with that is that
scene was just a part of that.
And within the sequence, Cruise does crash on a crotch rocket with no helmet. He gets up and he's okay. And I know we're talking far-fetched as it is, but the dude should have had some deep cuts or something, or broken arm or some shit. Yeah. Because you're on like a really hardcore curvy road on a mountain, and you're going crazy fast. I honestly just loved the way that sequence was shot. I mean, that's probably one of my favorite sequences out of any film that I've seen this summer so far. That's still one of my top five films, I think, right now, swaying in and out, that I've seen so far this summer.
Yeah, I did. I absolutely loved it. It took the box office again for the weekend. Beat out Fantastic Four, which fucking dragged its way to $25.5 million. Dismal returns. That's about half of what they were projecting. But that was before Trank blew the fucking movie up on Twitter. And that just started this whole cascade that we talked about earlier. The Gift, that's the Joel Edgerton movie, that came in at number 3. Vacation was in at number 4, down 2 places from last week. Ant-Man rounded out the top 5. Trainwreck, actually, speaking of which, and I just looked at the box office returns, came in at number 8 for the weekend, but it only had a budget of $35 million, and it already reached $90 million domestic. So, Ms. Schumer, incredibly profitable. One way or the other.
She is an everyday girl. She is the kind of girl that a lot of just regular people can relate to. Not saying that I don't. I mean, I get the humor. I for some reason, can't stare at her face for that long. I'm sorry.
I love watching clips of, and you should go online, go to ComedyCentral.com.
I've seen clips of
Amy Schumer.
I've seen
is hilarious, like some of the skits and stuff that she writes.
I have seen it. Now, to talk about, you know, what box office will be like next week. Now, granted, Straight Outta Compton is playing in a lot less theaters than Man from U.N.C.L.E. It's already set to most likely take the weekend with 40 million. That's the prediction. And Universal has offered to theater owners to offer money to them to add extra security to the theaters in case anything happens, such as riots or anyone coming in with a gun or a weapon to hurt people. Now, keep in mind, we just had two theater attacks within the past month, Trainwreck being one of them, where someone came in and attacked someone with a gun, and then it was at a Mad Max screening a couple weeks ago in Nashville where a guy went in with a shotgun and a hatchet. So, now granted, Straight Outta Compton does bring up a lot of social commentary and themes that could invoke a riot. I mean, we see some riots. We see the Rodney King riots in the film reenacted, and we do see a lot of social commentary on, you know, cops, bad cops doing bad things to innocent people. So you never know what could happen there.
Which is definitely, especially in terms of social commentary, is very relevant. Not only back in that time, you know, that's what, the early 90s, but especially very, very relevant today.
It's very relevant right now. That's why I think the film will be a big hit, even outside of the, you know, hardcore NWA and rap fan base and biopic fan base. You know, it has a lot to say in the movie. And I hope a lot of people go out to see it.
Well, the film does look fantastic, and we're just about down to 4 or 5 minutes here left to go on this edition of the Rundown. So, free format. What do you want to talk about? Anything? Any news you've read this week that you wanted to talk about?
Wait a minute. Wasn't there I don't want to go back to Marvel. I don't want to go back to Marvel. There's that Civil War thing that we read earlier that could be a possible script.
All right. Okay, it's the trailer information.
Yeah, where is it? I've got it
right here in front of me here. And some of the dialogue, it says, "We hear Captain America, we won't stand for this." Then Iron Man says, "Then let's fight." I think, and we talked about this, we'll talk about this very briefly, but one sentence: this is fucking garbage. The end.
We'll see. We saw a photo last night of what Black Panther is going to look like, his costume.
Chadwick Boseman.
So, though that wasn't him in the photo.
It was probably a stuntman, but still.
It looks okay. I will remain optimistic. However, if this description is true,
this sounds so fucking terrible.
I don't
terrible.
Know how to
it
feel.
It sounds like garbage. And it does. It has a lot of sequence of Spider-Man in the trailer, and if it's going to be more than a cameo. If this is true, and I don't think it is.
Now you tell me something. Answer a question really quickly for me. No. When you're in high school, right, and you're 16 years old, maybe even 17, 15, and you're in high school, does someone call you a man, or do they call you a teenager?
So you're saying we should call him Spider-Tween?
How can he be Spider-Man if he's not a man yet? Now, granted, in the original comics, he was a late teen, like late high schooler, but he still acted more like a man. Like, this kid's a kid. Like, Spider-Kid, Spider-Child, Spider-Tween, Spider-Toddler.
We could have spent the whole podcast with me just bitching about how much I don't want to see Spider-Man. And I got into this discussion on our page, actually, on one of the posts that we made. I think the picture of Spider-Man. I don't care about Spider-Man news. I don't give a shit about Marvel getting control of the property. Raimi did excellent work, both with villains and with development for Spider-Man. Webb, granted, the villain development was terrible. Why? Because they followed the Marvel
formula. I still
liked
Amazing Spidey 1. I still liked it.
The development for Spider-Man, for Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy in Amazing Spidey 1 and 2 was still excellent. I don't think Marvel brings anything to the table that's going to beat that. And Marvel's treatment of villains is no better, if not worse, than what we already got in the last two Amazing Spider-Man movies. I don't think they're going to do shit for the property, and it's just going to stagnate. More people will go to see it because it's going to have the Marvel Studios brand on it, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be better, and I don't think it will be. And plus, nothing for nothing, but one of our listeners, one of my friends actually, Dan Brennick, is not playing Spider-Man, and I know he's going to be sad about that.
A lot of people want to play Spider-Man. Spider-Kid, Spider-Tween, Spider-Toddler, Spider-2-Year-Old, I was just born 5 days ago.
The web shoots out of the vagina and the baby comes swinging out. Is that, can we get that into production? There's got to be a porno that's at least somewhat similar to what I just described.
Really, 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 really quick, because we don't have much time. We did talk about Star Wars in the beginning of the podcast, the real rundown. However, we did post a lot of brand new Star Wars pictures from episode
all
7
that stuff from
yesterday.
Yes, yes,
and
indeed.
And today we did see the first official, though not really. It's more like Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker taking promotional photos for
it
the film.
Looks like it looks like a but, like a costume like a costume fitting or something like that. Like
no, they're taking promotional photos. He's in front of a white background, which means that he's going to be on the front cover of like folders for school children to have at school and notebooks and T-shirts and
I already
that.
Bought all my Jar Jar Binks folders for school. I don't need any fucking Luke Skywalker. Who cares about Luke Skywalker when you can have Gungans bouncing all over, tripping over your binder and stuff? I mean, that's just...
So he's the same age as Alec Guinness was when he played Obi-Wan, and he looks like Obi-Wan. We knew they would play that card. It looks cool. Nothing too surprising there. Just wanted to bring to your attention out there, film fans, the Epic Film Guys were one of the first pages to post that news as soon as it hit, so
and
be sure to follow the page to all your friends.
All of the thanks for that goes to Mr. Esquivel, because he is Johnny on the spot when it comes to new movie news. I don't know how he does it. I think he's got some Hollywood dicks in his mouth that he doesn't want to tell us about, but something. But he gets this news up so fast, and I'm so grateful to have somebody who is as vigilant as him on the Epic Film Guys team. Because it's great. We get some of this news, and it's up on our page before I see it in anything that's, you know, got 10 times the following. So that means you need to abandon all those other film sites, because it's just not good enough. Epic Film Guys is where it's at. We've got the personality. We've got the news. We've got tats and skins. What more do you need? Really?
Really? Yeah. For real. And we'll be cool with you and friends with you and hang out with you at a craft beer event and a brewery and bullshit with you forever and talk movies. What's cooler than that, man?
Nothing is cooler than that. And nothing is cooler than the real rundown. So I want to take this opportunity to thank all of our listeners. I have received a few comments from different people that have actually been listening to the podcast now that we're on iTunes and now that you can subscribe to the feed. Again, it is epicfilmguys.podbean.com/feed. Just paste that into whatever service you use to subscribe to podcasts, and we do appreciate you listening. We've got a lot of the kinks quality-wise and a lot of the other everything. We're getting all this stuff in line, and we're very grateful for you for sticking with us while we get all this stuff worked out. And as we transition this thing, I don't know, today was just kind of us bitching about a lot of stuff, but that's going to happen sometimes.
It's movie talk, man.
It
we're
is
talking movies.
Talk. And granted, there's a lot to bitch about after that. Fuck, I can't even say the name of that film anymore. It just, it makes my head hurt anymore, even more than it already does or has for the last 10 days.
Well, you better hurry up because I have to hit the pisser.
All right. Well, I do not want to hear tinkling in the background. So this is Epic Film Guy, Nick.
And Justin, about to take a huge piss.
Man, thank you very much for listening again to this edition of The Real Rundown, and we will see you at the movies.